Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the second guest show. Mike DiTiglio along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside, right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be on until 6:30 tonight. And then at 6:30 will be the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike also will be the host. And his guest tonight will be Saints head coach Dennis Allen. And his guest will be Saints defensive coordinator Joe Woods. Bob, yesterday we talked about it. The Saints sort of kept this close for a little while, but not enough offensive firepower. It's just, man, when you're 2 of 16 on third downs, you ain't winning nothing. And again, it was another kind of bad brand of football again, and it was boring on offense. And your defense played a little bit better, but, man, Bobby, if you can't score in this league, you ain't winning squat. Nothing.
Well,
and they definitely had the advantage at quarterback with Justin Herbert.
Yeah, the one thing that bothers me is like, and I said this last night, do we have any great young players? I'm not talking about good or very good. I'm talking about great or elite players.
Nope.
I'm talking about who's young. I'm not talking about Cam Jordan, what he's accomplished, Honey Badger and all that, DeMario Davis. We have one, and I would say, and I'm stretching it, because he's like, I think 26 and under, but he's, I think, 27, would be McCoy. Eric McCoy, I think.
He's a very good player.
I might disagree with you in that. I think McCoy would start for every team in the NFL, if not at center, at guard. He'd be either left guard, right guard, or center. I think McCoy is that good. Because of his age, you know, when you think he's 27. To start now, Lattimore could be, but Lattimore has a Michael Thomas attitude on the defensive side. You know, when things get rough, oh, my hamstring. Oh, I don't know. I'm coming out the game. I'm not saying his hamstring's not bothering him a little bit, but that's interesting. And you know what? I always talk about contested catches. And I said this last night, you know, like Chris Olave or the wide receiving corps. Chris Olave. He had a nice game, you know, but he had 14 targets, 8 receptions, 107 yards. But you know how we don't really, like, didn't you see 2 or 3 times Justin Herbert just threw the ball up? It wasn't bad coverage, but you know what? They caught the ball. So the point I have, we're not making contested catches, whether it's our wide receivers or our defensive backs. You know, the ball's up there. Okay, are we truly making plays? No, we don't make – I'm going to ask Dennis Allen that. I mean – it's just we don't win when that occurs.
Okay, other than because we saw him for the last 2 years at Georgia, Ladd McConkey. Who are the other receivers and tight ends on the Georgia squad?
The tight end, what was his name? I have to look at his name. What was his name, Charlie?
Will Disley.
Disley was the tackle that they moved to tight end.
Exactly. And he was a blocking tight end.
And then he gets targeted 7 times. No, then I look at McConkey. He looks like our groupie, like our kicker. He looks like he's about in ninth grade. I don't know. He walked on in Georgia.
He
got targeted 6 times. He had 6 catches, 18.5-yard average, 111 yards. So you got to give him credit. But all I know is you got to score a touchdown. It's the 3rd game under Dennis Allen. We have not scored a touchdown. So where are the Saints at? I thought, try to look at the glass half full. Instead of half empty. Right now, the damn glass is just empty. It ain't nothing. It's like you. Look at this glass. This is like half full, half empty. When it gets right here empty, that's where the Saints are at right now.
That's empty.
When I look at it right now,
that glass.
And to be positive, I thought, oh, we kind of middle of the pack. I think we could be an 8-9, 9-8 team. Right now, no, we're in the 20s. And we're going to see where we're at. You know why we're going to see where we're at? Because we're playing the team that are in the bottom half of the league at the rest of the season. You know, we're going to play Carolina. We didn't hit rock bottom yet. We lose to Carolina, we hit rock bottom.
That's rock bottom.
No. So there's 32 teams. Now, Carolina's coming up. See that game. The Giants aren't good. Mm-hmm. Overall, the Cleveland Browns aren't good. The Raiders aren't good. We have like 4 games that I think are
you went toe-to-toe with the Falcons.
Yeah. But right now,
but Falcons are playing better.
No, and I'm telling you, watch what's going to happen. It doesn't mean anything. So what if we beat Atlanta in the dome? No matter what the record is and what teams are doing, we're going to split with Atlanta. Watch, we have a chance because they didn't score a touchdown and they beat us. Watch, Derek Carr is going to come back, and that's why it's false hope. It's false hope when you look at that, if that would occur. You have to look at how do you get to double-digit wins, because the wild card ain't coming out of the NFC South. Because right now Atlanta's in that driver's
seat. It's in the North.
Yeah, no. Now, I don't think the Bears. I think three out of the four teams in the NFC North are making the playoffs.
I agree with that.
And, look at Jayden Daniels, what he did with Washington.
Okay, I'm going to ask you, because somebody told me this. I'm filling up this morning to come here. Said, ask Bobby if he ever threw a pass like that in all his career. I said, the only one I can remember
Hail Mary?
Was to Roach.
No, in high school. But that one, the Hail Mary, that was just a fourth down and like 10, and then made a touchdown that way where the ball was tipped, and then we ended up catching it.
But a play like that, you ever made?
When I threw a damn Hail Mary, it was always intercepted. I never had no luck. If I was throwing the ball up like this, they would knock it down. They would intercept it. I go, damn. I played with Jeff George with Atlanta. Do you know he was so worried about his numbers that and he had an arm that was unbelievable. He could throw the thing 70 yards. He would throw it out the end zone on purpose. And June Jones would get so mad. What are you doing? Give us a chance to catch it. Because he knew the percentages is just luck. I mean, it's just luck when the ball's bouncing all around. So he would throw it out of bounds. So,
that is a lucky play.
No.
And we've talked about this before, and I've told you. Okay, you can have some skill. Let's say you pick in stock, when you're in the stock market. You can have some skill. There's a little bit of luck always involved in anything, but there's a little skill set in that. Here's my deal. When you win the Powerball or the lottery, you're not great picking numbers. That's pure luck. Pure luck.
Well, and you always say you better be lucky than good.
That's right.
I mean, now, as far as, I remember coaches will tell you you can make your own luck or increase the percentages in your favor. You know, you definitely could do that and how you break it down and how you work out things. But listen, right now, I don't think even if the Saints had good luck, we'd win. And, like, we can have a little bit of good luck and we still wouldn't win. It is that discouraging where we're at right now. Now, Carolina. Look, the Saints are like a 5.5-point favorite. That shows you how sorry Carolina is.
That's right.
We're going on the road, and we're playing little Bryce. He looks like he's about in eighth grade. Look at him. I'm glad we're not playing Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton have a better chance to upset us than Bryce. I'm telling you right
now. That I would believe.
Yeah. We're going to hit rock bottom if you don't beat Carolina. Even though it's an NFL team, we should be able to beat Carolina on the road. And if you look at Carolina on the road, the last time we lost six games in a row, you know, and that was pre-Katrina. That's almost two decades, 19 years to be exact. I never forget. I drove from Atlanta to Charlotte to do the game. We couldn't even do commercials, and we won the game. We were 1-0 in 2005, and we finished 3-13. So I'm just – but the team had an excuse. You know, we're playing at LSU. We're playing at San Antonio. We were the traveling all-stars. We're playing all over. But ain't no excuse this year where we're at.
Bob, we've talked about this. We can go a little bit more after the break. But one of the things that was always part of Sean Payton's legacy here the last 5 years was how good he was in the month of October. Always had a winning record the last 11 games. He was 10 wins, 1 loss in the month of October. We talked about it before the season. Even Coach Allen addressed it. I think it was one of the OTAs I asked him about it. And he was like, that's something we have to improve on, winning in October and November. Because one thing with Sean, Coach Payton was always sort of a 500 coach in September. But he was really good in October. Dennis Allen's been basically kind of a 500 coach in September, had a losing record in October. Guess what it is this year? 0-4.
No, you look at him as a Raiders coach, you look at a Saints coach, an overall head coach. No, it's not hovering around 50%.
No.
It's at 43%, 42.8 to be exact. And so it is, bottom line is you have to win. You have to win. But it shows you how things can change quickly. You know, when you think about what Sean Payton and Drew Brees did, that's basically, you know, 16 years. And, you know, they got some young people don't know the Saints are like, man, are we in the bottom of the barrel? Well, if you look at post-Sean Payton, look how it has fallen by the wayside. And Mickey Loomis and all thought like, oh, well, we're just going to continue this. No, it doesn't matter who's the man.
Yep.
And, you know, we give Drew Brees a lot of credit. I think I give Drew more credit than Sean, but I think it's a combination like Tom Brady and Belichick and all that. But look now, in 3 years, look where the Saints are at right now. We're like right now with Jim Haslett. I don't think we yet where Mike Ditka is, you know, but I think we kind of like Haslett era right now. And then that's not acceptable.
No, it's not. Bob, we'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on the Second Guest Show. Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. We'll be here until 6:30 tonight. Bob, as I came in, someone asked me to ask you this. So before we go back to Saints talk, we heard it yesterday from a quarterback admitting he was tired. Anthony Richardson, the quarterback for the Colts, I said, okay, I'll ask Bob about it. And even if you were tired, why say it?
Well, because he's not, you don't have common sense. He's not, I don't think he's very football smart. He's very talented. But he's just like, what are you talking about? You can't be brutally honest at that point. So what if you're tired? You got to still play when you're tired. The AFC South. If you look at who you played in the yes, no, the only like the only people that rotated the defensive line, not the quarterback. I'm gonna tap out. You don't think the coach teams, his teammates look at that tapping out? That's unacceptable.
Bob, I've seen it. If it's a receiver and they got defensive backs sometimes,
but yeah, but they might be running. They might be running three or four plays in a row of 40 yards or more.
I get that.
But Anthony Richardson tapping out, no. If I'm a Colts fan, I don't want that son of a gun being my quarterback because they ain't gonna win anything. Now he's very talented. He wishes he was Cam Newton. He ain't on the level of Cam Newton. He's not accurate. He was not accurate at Florida. He's not an accurate passer. What he throws to the Colts like 30%. No, he's very skilled. He can run and all
that. He is athletic.
But the game's on the line, and you're going to tap out. That's a punk-ass move. All I know is, what are you doing? Anthony Richardson is such a gifted individual, but is he truly a quarterback, a leader in the National Football League? No. Right then, that was mind-boggling. I have never, ever witnessed that. I don't care if it's the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. You're talking about half a century, 50, 60 years, nobody's never done that, tapped out. I don't know, maybe these young kids, they feel like they can tap out. If you're the quarterback, you can never tap out. It'd have been better, he was just so tired, and then he wasn't successful, but at least he was trying. Versus like, because the backup quarterback's not even ready to go in the game. And they have a good one. Like the guy from the Ravens, like Flacco. No, now, Flacco, go in, okay, because the quarterback needs a break. Like, what? No, you rotate the defensive line to get probably a pass rush. You don't even rotate the offensive line. I mean, you don't even do that.
No, you don't.
That's the position, maybe a receiver, the running backs, but the D-line, the DBs stay in. You know, the linebackers. I've never witnessed that. Maybe somebody else might have witnessed that, but I have. Listen, to me, that shows, I don't know, common sense, or he's not very bright. And for him to make that statement, and, man, I was tired. I told the coach I had to come out. The game's on the line. What are you doing? Come on, dude.
So, Jesse from Bay St. Louis, you got your question answered about that. He wanted me to talk to you about it. Bob, yesterday, I think one of the things – that surprised me a little bit, and I don't know if they were trying to trick the Saints early, but the Chargers had to see game film in the last couple of weeks, how teams ran on the Saints. Why'd they come out throwing screen passes?
Well, I guess, reverse psychology. And they
really boggled me.
No, and they're trying to trick them because when you look at it, when all said and done, now, I would have lost in this over and under. I said, oh, they're going to run the ball at least 35 or more.
I thought so, too.
They ran it 29, and they averaged 4.2. He ended up having 122 yards rushing, but a lot of that was Justin Herbert. He had four carries for right at 50 yards, a 12.5-yard average. Had Justin Herbert didn't even want to run, and he gained 38 yards one time. And ain't Josh Allen. You know, Josh Allen with the Bills, he's going to run. But when I saw that, I go, man, Justin Herbert's not even trying to run, and he still gained
38
yards.
Bob, the last time I saw Justin do that was the Rose Bowl game against Wisconsin.
Well,
that's the only time I've ever seen him run it, you know, run the ball. Because he's always been known as a pocket passer.
Right.
He'll drift a little bit left, a little bit right. But he's not one that's going to take off running. But the hole was so big, he had to.
Well, no, he had to hit it and get it. You know, because you play man coverage. And that's when, you know, whether Nussmeier, even at LSU, and he had that one run. When you see the man coverage, that even though you're not the greatest, have the greatest running ability, a lot of times you see defenders, their backs to you because they worried about coverage. That's the time to pick and choose and run. Now, if you can get to that point, and then you can keep defenses off balance, whether it's Joe Burrow. Like, Joe Burrow would take off and run.
We saw it last week, Joe took off and run.
But Joe Burrow, you don't consider him like Lamar.
No.
Or like even Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes does a great job with that. It's not like zone coverage when they're facing you, and then they can react to you, and they close the deal where all of a sudden you think you might get 10 yards, and you got to slide, and you get about four. But you can get a long run when they're playing man coverage, and the D-line is not containing you. So when I look at, you know, that Justin Herbert, that run, but like even Bryce, I would expect like Bryce with the Panthers, that if he would see man coverage, he might try and make a few more plays with his feet.
He's not considered a runner. He's more of a scrambler.
Right.
But if you see that much yardage, you got to take it. And they protect you as long as you slide or you go out of bounds.
Yeah, yeah, then I can hit the quarterback. I mean, even if you run out of bounds and, you know, they hit you, then you got a penalty and all that in your favor. So the one thing I'm still frustrated, though, with the Saints, and it goes back to when, like, Rashid Shaheed against Atlanta, when he feels a punt inside the four-yard line and he fumbles. And I think Coach Rizzi and you know, Coach Galliano do an outstanding job with the special teams. But I know they're in those meetings, and Jermaine Jackson, you know, one of the Jackson Five, why is he fielding that punt? I mean, not one, but twice. He fielded a punt on the four-yard line, and he fair catch one on the five-yard line. I don't know. Take a chance. It might take a weird bounce and go in the end zone. If you back it up, that's one thing. That's now three times. Jermaine Jackson twice, and now Rashid Shaheed. That's three times. Now you might say, well, the punters have gotten so good. So, okay, let's say your heels on the 10-yard line, old school, but now we're on the 8-yard line. If you're going backwards, no. How about you don't go backwards and field it? Just let it bounce, and maybe it goes in the end zone, and you get better field position. So that, to me, has frustrated me that in the punt return game, because, you know, we're trying to flip the field, the hidden yardage, that there was two punts that we actually fielded on the four-yard line, and we fair caught one on the five-yard line. You got to let that thing bounce. Now, you got to have some kind of deception maybe, so their gunners cannot maybe feel the ball in the air, and then you get it down on the one or two. But I think you got to take that chance. All I know is I don't think you need to feel anything like 8-yard line on in. I mean, that's something in Carolina. But we don't let that happen again.
We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guess Show, Mike Dettillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Let's go to Paul in Metairie. Paul, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hey, guys. Listen, my daughter's been, she kind of got hooked on the Saints, I guess, listening to me hollering over all the years. But I'm seeing her spend all, she makes good money, but she's traveling to go see the team and likes to, you know, go every week to the games. But I think she's having a hard time seeing them lose, you know. You're so used to seeing them winning. But anyway, I want to ask Bobby. I think I know the answer. how many minutes are the guys actually playing in a game? I think it's around 14, 16 minutes.
You talk about the stop and go, and you bring that up, and that's why I can remember. I don't care if it's like freezing, and I'm talking about like freezing where it's in the teens or below. You might say, "Damn, I don't want to go out there. I mean, it's freaking cold." I don't care where you at. You could do anything for about 3 hours.
Remember we talked about this on the game, it was the coldest game in Saints history when they played in Cleveland.
And we beat them.
And they ended up winning.
We ended up winning that game. And so the point being is that, like, you think actually, you know, it's a lot of anxiety, maybe stress, because you want to succeed at the high level, and then it's pros versus pros. But you could give it your all. You can do anything. When you truly think about it, for the amount of time that you're on the field and actually participating, because it's not like, you know, a marathon is continuous. You know, for soccer, you know, you constantly run. Football is like stop, go, stop, and go. You know, bursts. You got bursts and all that. You look even how much you run in basketball. So it doesn't matter if you're at the highest level of any sport, whether it's football, basketball, and then you look at baseball, and then you look at the pitchers, they might only use you for one inning. Can you get one guy out? Can you get three guys out? Then we're going to bring another stud in there. So it's not like so, from a physical standpoint, it's not so overwhelming. So that's why for Anthony Richardson, the quarterback for the Colts, to say, "I'm tired." Well, what are you tired? You out of shape? And then if you're rehabbing any kind of injury, you know, you might have one body part that maybe I can't run like I want to, but they can make you do stuff that you still can stay in shape. But let's say you have a lower body injury so you can't run. Well, they got something with your shoulders, get your heart rate and all up that you could be ready to roll. So when anybody to say like, "Damn, I was tired, I had to tap out." No, that's so embarrassing. Listen, I don't know who's Anthony Richardson's daddy and all, who his daddy is, who is his family. I had to call my son, "What the hell are you doing?" And you can never admit that you're tired like that. The game's on the line and you're the quarterback.
And if you think
you want to get paid in the future and to beat a man, you don't think people don't pay attention to that?
If you think his dad's upset, just think his agent.
Oh, yeah.
How would Hugh have reacted if you said that?
Well, it'd be like, what's wrong with you? I mean, how can you even make that statement, even though you could be dog-ass tired and you just got to fight? You got to fight through it. You got to fight through it. You can never admit. That's why when you look at, you know, with the caller we just talked to, like, when are you actually playing at a high level? It's not continuous. Because even though, you know, look at the game, how long the game lasts? 3 hours, 15, yeah. 20 minutes. No, it's not constant. It's like bursts. Okay, up and down, and how you're going. So, that to me is unacceptable. To me, I don't care what position you play in the NFL, you should never be tired. Now, you might be hurt.
Yes, or something, that part I get, but if you hurt.
But to say it's your lifestyle, year-round training, I'm tired? What? I can't even fathom that. I was tired. I had to tap out. No, I guarantee you. Would you want to fight with somebody that's going to tap out like that? You know, the offensive line, they're looking at, man, that's supposed to be our leader? That ain't good. Put it this way, I don't think Derek Carr would ever do that. I'm not saying Derek Carr is the answer for the Saints. Derek Carr would never pull that move. Now, he might not have the athletic ability of Anthony Richardson.
No, he ain't close.
And there's
that.
A lot of people that don't have that.
That's right.
But Anthony Richardson wants to be an NFL quarterback. What he throws, 30, 40%? And it's the modern-day age? Come on. You got to be at least 50%, even though his running skill set is at a level that's unbelievable. But he wasn't accurate at Florida. I bring that up in the SEC.
Bob, Andy didn't want to wait on, but Andy from Metairie wanted to ask both of us about our thoughts on Kendra Miller. Andy, my thoughts is Kendra Miller is a talented running back. You can see the burst, the speed, the ability, one cut up into the hole and out. And he catches the ball well. Here's the problem. can't stay on the field.
The best is availability. Like the offensive version of Peyton Turner. I mean, you could see flashes.
Yes, he did good.
And then, he had – Mike, he came back last week, had six carries.
And what he did this
36
week?
Yards. Okay, look what he did. Today. He had three carries, 16 yards, 5.3-yard average. He had a long gain of 10 yards. What, his hamstrings hurt again?
Hamstring hurt again.
Well, but are you a world-class sprinter or some of your hamstring? You know what? I always say this. This is an old-school analogy I've always done. It's like a high-performance car, like a Lamborghini or Ferrari. Boy, I took that thing. It was like, whoa. It was unbelievable.
Zero to 60.
You
got to
put it in the shop.
Something wrong.
You got to put it in the shop. I just took it for a ride a couple of times. It's back in the shop. What the hell? Well, that's Kendra Miller, and that's who the Saints are drafting. High performance, high potential, but what about their heart and their physical makeup? Did the same thing with Peyton Turner. Very talented, but you playing in the NFL, you can't always be hurt. And if you look how many times they've been hurt, that's not just bad luck. I think the difference between being hurt and injured.
That's a difference.
That to play. Okay, you're going to tell me all these years when Cam Jordan answered the bell that he was always 100%?
Or DeMario Davis.
DeMario Davis. You got some players, this is bothering me. I don't want to put bad film out there. You might be 80%, but you don't want to play? No, I don't know how you check a player's heart with that. That to me, is kind of mind-boggling. If you want to be a pro in the NFL, you made a team. Kendra Miller, now you've made it. You're in the NFL. But you know what it's going to be? Not NFL, not for long. If all of a sudden you're more hurt than you're available, then you got to go get a real job.
Bob, one of the things I did when I was doing the scouting reports and the draft book was to try to get to know the trainers on the team. They know about a player and if he's hurt, injured, and how he fights through it more than anybody. Because the coach sometimes will lie to you. He's a tough guy.
Yeah.
The coach ain't never going to say anything really negative about you.
Throw him under the bus. Now, you see, to me, I think I'm keeping this fair. I think when Taysom Hill's hurt, he's really hurt.
Yeah, that I believe.
Because he's overly aggressive. Now, I wish he sometimes maybe he wouldn't be overly aggressive as he is. But just look at the impact he had. On when we got 2 points, we're winning 2-0. And look at the punter when he botched it. Look who was right there on special teams, Taysom Hill.
We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're finishing up here in hour number one of the Second Guess Show, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bob, I'll never forget with Kendra Miller. And, you excited. You got picked by the Saints. And one of the things as it came up to pick, Deuce and I were talking about this. Okay, Tajay Spears from Tulane's up on the board. He used to be the A-chain, but A-chan was up on the board. And the Saints picked Kendra Miller. We get him on the line, and he was excited. And he was like, man, all I know is I'm going to beat out Alvin Kamara as the starting running back for the Saints. And Deuce was, wait. Hold on, young buck. You ain't done nothing yet.
How about you just play? Alvin Kamara is going to be the all-time leading rusher in Saints history. Mark Ingram surpassed Deuce McAllister, and then Alvin Kamara is going to surpass Mark Ingram.
But, Bob, that's the frustrating thing. You see the talent in Kendra Miller. He is a talented guy, but if you can't stay healthy, then, man, you're just treading water.
So was A-Chain taken after him?
A-Chain was taken after him.
So look at the contribution and what he's done with the Dolphins. give me that. Okay, that guy's he's available.
We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this news break here on the Big 870 WWL.